I appreciate that. I appreciate this opportunity to preach tonight. And I couldn't help but notice that when Brother Nelson was bragging on me, I didn't hear amen from my mom and dad. That kind of shocked me a little bit. But I wanted to say amen, but I didn't want to seem proud. So, but I am thankful for the Lord and His goodness towards me. Will you please turn tonight to Judges chapter 13? And as you're turning, I'd like to share my testimony. The Lord saved me when I was 11. Yeah, I was 11. I was in the sixth grade. And we had just finished playing middle school football. I played for Rockwood, and we just beat Harriman. And we were on our way home. And the Lord, on the bus, dealt with my heart. Said, Mark, you must be saved. You got to be saved. And so I told Mom when I arrived back at school, she picked me up, took me home, and Dad led me to the Lord at my house on the couch. I thank the Lord for saving me. And then later, God called me to preach, called me to be a preacher. And while I attended Pensacola Christian College, it was there that God had called me to be a missionary to Germany. And I am working on that right now. I used to work for Brother Nelson. Now I'm working at Food City at the meat department, and I'm attending Harriman Baptist Tabernacles Bible Institute. So I'm working on it. I'm on my way there, and while I'm still getting ready to go on the deputation onto the mission field, I do what I can to serve the Lord here. And that's the best you can do. While you're waiting, when you're waiting on God, do your best to serve Him with all your heart and all your strength. We look here in Judges chapter 13, we see the account of a very famous man, a man that no doubt you all know by the name of Samson. Samson was a very strong man, a very important man in the history of the Jews. And I'll begin reading in verse 3. Will you please stand in honor of God's word? The Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren, and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. He shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. God, I thank you for Pastor Nelson. Lord, I pray that you will use me as a tool for your glory. God, I pray that we would learn something from the scripture, from God, and I pray that you will bless us. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. How many people have started school or are about to start school? Raise your hand. All right, I will be praying for you. Trust me, you'll need it, but I need it too. I start soon at school, and I'm excited. And school is a time where you really have a great opportunity to learn, to study, and you also have a great opportunity to witness to your classmates as well. I'll be praying for you. And as you're learning, you're gaining an education. You're striving to learn and to increase your knowledge. And at the end, almost at every graduation speech, you always hear someone say to the effect of, "This room or this class has a great amount of potential that you have." Each and every one of us here today has a great amount of potential. And a young man once asked his teacher for advice. And the teacher looked at him, and probably the young man was probably thinking, you know, study hard, work hard, do your best at school. But the teacher turned to the young man and said, "Don't let potential be written on your tombstone." And today I want to talk about what will you do with your potential. See, each and every one of us, it doesn't matter if we're still in school, if we're graduated, if we're middle age or seniors, we still have potential for God. We still have potential. The Lord doesn't just use young people or middle age. He uses everyone of every age. And so we have potential to do great things for the Lord. All that matters is what will we do with that potential? Will we give it to God, or will we squander it and waste it away? And so today I want to talk about very briefly Samson and his potential. We saw, first point I want to see is, we saw Samson's parents, a man named Manoah and his wife. He didn't give his wife's name. The Lord didn't give it to whoever wrote this book. But the man by the name of Manoah. And we read on, and the Lord, the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman. And the Bible says, and said unto her, behold now that thou art barren and bearest not. But thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat it not of any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. Then a woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name. But he said unto me, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine or strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord, and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us, and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran, and showed her husband, and said unto him, behold, the man hath appeared unto me, that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, of all that I said unto the woman, let her be aware. And he goes on, and the Bible goes on and describes how Manoah, he wanted to keep the angel there. He wanted to feed him bread and make an offering to the angel. But the angel said, as a paraphrase, the angel said, no, don't make an offering unto me, make an offering unto God. And so we see a great scene of Samson's parents, how they operate and how they acted and who they were. First, we see that Samson's mother was barren. She could not have any children. And now, at this time of history, she wasn't really worth much in society. Society didn't really hold barren women up to high esteem. But God saw her and was able to use her for a way of presenting and having the new judge of Israel. And just because you think that you're in a situation where you can't help anybody, and in a situation where it seems like you're held back, God can still use you no matter what society might think of you. So she was barren. And we also see that Manoah was kind of behind. Well, what do you mean? Manoah was behind spiritually. We see here that the Lord sent the angel not to Manoah, but to his wife. And when Mrs. Manoah went to Manoah and said, look, a man of God, a man from God came and told me all these things. And she said, we see the account twice on what they were supposed to do with Samson. And then Manoah, being like a regular man, said, needed to hear the instructions yet again. That's how I am. I have this thing called selective hearing. I don't know if you have this. I don't know if I get it from my mom or from my dad. I asked my dad who I get it from, and he probably say my mom. And I asked my mom, where did I get it from? She'd probably say my dad. So I don't know where I get it from. But, you know, with selective hearing, and you hear what you want to hear, and you kind of fade out. Well, Manoah didn't really pay attention to what his wife said. And the wife had the message from the Lord. The wife had what God told her. She went and told her husband. And so he asked the Lord, Lord, send us again. Send the angel down again. And the angel came down again. And the second time, he showed up to the wife, not to Manoah. And then when the angel saw Manoah and Manoah saw the angel, the Bible says in verse 16, he said, and the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel, what is thy name? That when thy sayest come to pass, we may do thee honor. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is a secret? So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously. And Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass when the flame went toward heaven from off the altar, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die, because we have seen God. But his wife said unto him, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have shown us all these things, nor would as this time would have told us such things as these. So we see here that Manoah, when the angel went up, he thought, we saw God, we're about to die. And of course the angel said, no, Mrs. Manoah said, no, you big dummy. This God has told us, how are you supposed to expect us to have a child if we're dead? So we see that Manoah was kind of behind spiritually in maturity. He didn't quite get and grasp what God has said. And so we see here that that has effects later, because they were chosen by God, they were commanded by the angel, and yet in chapter 14 we read that they were controlled by Samson. The father lacked the maturity to lead, and we see that effect happen in the scripture. In chapter 14, we read on, we see here, Samson's born and he's grown up. And the Bible says in verse 1, and Samson went down to Timnath, saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and mother, said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, nor among all my people that thou goest to take the wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord, and he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at the time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath. Behold, a young lion warred against him. So I'll stop right there. So we see here that they went, Samson went up to him, said, there's a woman down, he went down to Timnath, saw one of the daughters of the Philistines, and came back up and saw his father and mother and said, get her for me. She pleaseth me well. And what they should have said, what the parents should have said no, because it was against the law given by God for a Jew to marry a Gentile, for that to happen. Now, that doesn't mean that there's a lot of people take that the wrong way. The reason why God said that, because the Gentiles do not worship the one true God. They worship idols and false gods, and they will be unequally yoked. But Samson didn't care. That woman pleased the flesh. She pleased his eyes. And he wanted her. And so we see here that the father and mother at first said, They tried the reason of Samson and say, "Oh, why don't you go take a nice Jewish girl, a girl that loves God, and why do you want to have a woman of those Philistines?" And then again he says, "Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well." And they went down. The Bible goes on to say, and they went down and got that woman. They caved in to Samson's commands. My first point, what I'm trying to get at tonight, is that parents, you have to be the leader in the house. Fathers and husbands, you got to be the leader of the house. It is your job from God to be the spiritual head of your household. And if you lax in that job, then the results will happen and occur over years and years, and you might not recover from it. You may not. But God has given you a duty. God has given you a job to be the spiritual head of the household. Where are you going to lead your family? Where are you going to lead your wife? Are you going to lead them through spiritual victory in Christ? Are you going to lead them in the ways of the Lord? Are you going to lead them in the ways of the flesh? And the ways that pleases the eyes and pleases yourself and heads to destruction. So they were chosen by God, commanded by the angel, and controlled by Samson. Now let's turn over from Samson's parents to Samson himself. Samson was born, and from the day of his birth till the day of his death, Samson was to be a Nazarite. What's a Nazarite? A Nazarite is a special vow that Jews would make in the Old Testament times, and even Paul makes it too, and John the Baptist. And what they would do, they would not take of any fruit from the vine, they would not cut their hair, and they could not touch any dead thing. And the picture of the Nazarite vow was a picture of sanctification. So from the day that Samson was born, he was to be consecrated and sanctified and separated from everyone else. The people would look at Samson and say, "That is a man dedicated to God. That is a man who has made a vow to God and he's keeping it," at least from the appearance. And Samson did have the appearance down. Samson had very long hair, but yet he flirted with temptation. Samson was a man that flirted with temptation. The Bible has told us that we are to be sanctified. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 8. Turn with me there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 8. Paul writes, and he tells us, he says, "Nay, ye do wrong in the fraud and that of a brother. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." So the Lord is telling us through Paul, hey, these people will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And you were some of these people. The Corinthians were a very carnal city. Corinth was a very wicked city. And these Christians were once part of that crowd that did not and will not inherit the kingdom of God. But yet, he says here in verse 11, he says, "But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." That was us. We were those people that Paul listed. We were those wicked sinners and evil people, but yet we are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. We are born again into the family of God. Those descriptions no longer describe us, but our description, what describes us, what characterizes us, is now that we are sons and daughters of God. We are the children of the Lord. And he says, "But ye are sanctified. ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We are sanctified. We're separated. And we ought to act like we're separated. We ought to look like we're separated. You know, Samson didn't get a haircut, but young men, we should. Samson was a man that looked the part, but yet he did not act the part. Samson was strong physically. If you turn back to Judges, you read, oftentimes you read about this in Sunday school and Judges, and we read about it. The Bible describes him as a strong man. He says here, and let's look here in verse 4, in chapter 15. The Bible says, "And Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took firebrands and turned tail to tail and put a firebrand in the midst between two tails. And we had let the brands of fire go on fire. He let them go into the standing court of the Philistines and burn up both the shocks and also the standing corn and the vineyards and the olives." And then we go on and we read about his strength yet again. And he said in verse 14, Bible says, "And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands were loosed from his hands, and he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand, and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass, I have slain 1,000 men." That takes a very strong man to do. He was strong physically. With the help of the Lord, he was able to catch 300 foxes. I have a dog, and sometimes the dog would like to run out of the house and run around the yard and just run everywhere, all over God's creation. I mean, the thing likes to run. And it takes a while, and it takes me a long time to catch it and to carry it back to the house. Oftentimes, I just run in and grab a hot dog and whistle at it, and it will come running. But here we see Samson grabs 300 foxes. That takes a man of strength. And then he goes and he kills 1,000 Philistines with a jawbone of a donkey. That takes incredible strength. He was strong physically. He was strong mentally. I won't go into it. But Samson was able to create riddles and things like that and fool the Philistines and embarrass the Philistines. And he was able to do that. He was strong mentally. God has given him a great gift of wit. But the gift of strength and the gift of wit mattered not even a whole hill of beans because he was weak spiritually. Samson was a man that did not honor his vow to God. I mean, sure, he honored the outward thing. He honored the vow of the hair and how he kept it long so that he could keep appearances. But yet inwardly, and when no one was looking, he abandoned the word of God. The Bible says when he went down to get the first woman, he slew a lion, which takes a lot of strength. And he went, and the Bible says in verse 8, chapter 14, the Bible says, "And after a time he returned to take her. He turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. Behold, there is a swarm of bees and honey and the carcass of a lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion." So we see here that he touched the dead thing. He handled the dead thing. And we also read here that all took place when he, in verse 5, the Bible says that he came to the vineyards of Timnath. So Timnath was a city right on the edge of Israel. He came right to the edge of a vineyard, the place where he wasn't allowed to take of. And he came and he went and killed the lion and later took from the lion's corpse and ate honey. And we see here in verse 9, he says, and told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So we see here that Samson was nothing more than a hypocrite. He said, well, you might say, well, Samson didn't lie. Samson didn't say that he didn't take from the carcass. Well, yes, but God knew what he had done, even if his parents did not. See, young men, young ladies, if you do something against God, you might fool your parents, you might fool the preacher, but you cannot fool God. God sees all and God knows all. Everything that's done in darkness will be brought to the light because God sees it. God knows what you have done. Samson was a man that flirted with temptation. He went close to the Philistines. He went to the border. He thought he was safe. He flirted with temptation when the Bible says to flee from it. 2 Timothy, the Bible says, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So what Paul is writing yet again to Timothy, a young preacher who's just started out as a pastor, who's ready to go, who no doubt is excited about his ministry, and Timothy is told to flee also youthful lust. Now, Timothy, you know, he might not be in, like, my age, but he was probably older. And youthful lust doesn't just tempt the young. Youthful lust don't just tempt the youthful. It tempts people of all ages. Satan does care and wants to tempt and destroy the young, but he'll destroy and kill the testimony of the old as well. There's nothing more discouraging as a young man when I see a person who has been in the faith for a long time fall and completely wreck their testimony over a temptation, over a minute of sin, a minute of pleasure, or just a small moment of where they fell and they disregarded the commandments of God, they discarded the office that God has given them, the duties that God had put on them, and the responsibility they had, they discarded it and traded it for a moment of pleasure. And now, that I won't say any names, but they're no longer living for God. They're no longer dedicated to Him. They're living out in the world. And it's discouraging for me. It does break my heart. Don't flirt with temptation. Flee from it. Because Satan's like a roaring lion. I've seen videos of animal trainers where they would be throwing meat at an alligator. And he was backing up, throwing meat. An alligator kept going closer and closer until the trainer fell backwards into mud. And the alligator jumped on him, and thankfully they were able to get the trainer out from the alligator. But that's what we do with sin when we flirt with it. We go and we give it a little bit of our lives, a little bit of our time, a little bit of our thoughts, and then the next thing we know, it'll be right on top of us, and it'll devour us and kill us in our testimony. Flee from temptation. That's Samson's power came short. And then we see Samson's pride. Samson was a man of great pride. He was strong. He understood that the Lord gave him strength, that the Lord provided his strength, but yet he didn't recognize the Lord that gave him strength. He only recognized the strength. See, God gives us strength to go day by day. And we got to recognize and we got to realize and remember that it's not our strength but that we go on day to day, but it's by the strength of the Lord. The Lord's strength. And so we see here in Judges 16. We see here in verse 4. The Bible says, and it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her, said unto her, entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, and that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, and then I will be weak, and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. There were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withs as a thread of tow is broken when it touches with fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now I tell thee, now tell me, I pray thee, whether thou mightest be bound. And look, get this. Read the next verse. And he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes and they were never occupied, then I will be weak and be as another man. So Samson doesn't get the hint here. He doesn't realize that Delilah doesn't care for him, that Delilah is continually trying to trap him. And yet Samson is so prideful that it doesn't occur to him. He doesn't think about it. See, that's what sin does. Sin will rob you of common sense. Sin will rob you of your ability to understand the situation. While I played football for 12 years. There was a phrase that coach would use, and he said, keep your head on a swivel. And I would use it, and he would always tell us when we were practicing special teams. And I love special teams, especially if I was kickoff, because if there's a player that got on my nerves, and I didn't care if they had the ball or not, I would just go over and knock them out. But if I was on kickoff return, I didn't care too much for that. You know why? I was on the front line. And when they kicked the ball, I would have to run back and then turn around. And I remember one time, this is awful. There was a man, I was running back, and I turned around, and this player, about the size of a gorilla, was right on top of me and knocked me flat. I mean, it hurt. The next thing I saw was upside down, and I couldn't tell if it was the sky or the ground coming towards me. I just fell, and I just kind of lay there for a minute and just took it in and said, Lord, here I come. I'm going. But the Lord, I didn't pay attention to the situation. He blindsided me because I didn't keep my head on a swivel. And you got to keep your head on a swivel. We see here that, and then yet again, a third time she asks. The Bible says, and Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me where thou mightest be bound. He said unto her, if thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web. And she fastened it with the pin and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awakened out of his sleep and went away with the pin and of the beam and with the web. And so we see here that he starts to weaken up a little bit. He's getting closer to what is his true weakness. And then we read on. And we see here in verse 17, the Bible says that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath shown me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man and caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. So we see here that Samson's pride, it bound him. He was apathetic. He didn't care anymore about his testimony, about keeping his strength. He didn't care. He just told her all his heart. And Delilah, she understood he wasn't lying anymore. And she went, and we see that he was apathetic. And then we see that Samson was attacked. We see that he went up. He got up. The Philistines were on there. It was upon him. Samson, the Bible says, and he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. This is a man of pride. Scripture tells us the pride cometh before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And we see here that he wakes up and he's going to go out there and do his business, do what he does. But the Bible says, and you know, notice this, and he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. He did not even recognize that God was no longer with him, that God's strength had abandoned him. That says a lot about Samson, about how he completely neglected his relationship with God, and he couldn't even tell if God was with him or God was away from him. And he was the judge of Israel. Before all this, he had judged Israel 20 years. 20 years he was supposed to be the spiritual leader of the entire nation of the promised and chosen people of God. The very chosen people of God. He was supposed to be the spiritual leader of the entire nation. And yet we see him here in Gaza, in the land of the enemies, with a Philistine woman, and his hair is cut, and didn't even recognize that his hair was gone and that God had departed from him. You know why? Because he was playing. Like so often of us, we play church. We play the role. We come and we look clean, we behave right, and yet deep on the inside, we're rotten, and we're callous and cold against God, and we don't even realize if God is with us or without, if he's the presence and the power of God is no longer with us. It bound him, his pride bound him, his pride blinded him. Bible says that they gouged out his eyes. It blinded him. And it grinded him as well. His pride grinded him. The Bible says they bound him with fetters of brass and he did grind in the prison house. You know how what he would do? He would just walk in circles. Not knowing where he was at. Blind to his surroundings. Walking in circles. When you abandon God and when you go against God's will and backslide and step out of the will of God, you're blind and you're walking around aimless without his guidance. You might think that you're going well. You might think that, oh, I'm going in the direction I want to go. But in all reality, you're going nowhere without God. Not only did it blind him, not only did it grind him, but his pride, his imprisonment, it reminded him. Samson was beginning to remember the Lord. And we see that in verse 22. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. That verse is very important. Because Samson had left God, and the power of God was no longer there. But yet, the hair of his head began to grow again while he was in prison. The hair of the head was a picture of the strength, picture of his dedication to God. While he was blind, while he was there, aimless, he began to remember God. And God remembered Samson. God knew where Samson was at. God understood Samson's plight. And for Samson to have strength again, for Samson to have fellowship again, Samson had to humble himself before God. See, there's going to come a time in our lives, if we don't humble ourselves before God, God will humble us. And trust me, it is far better if we humble ourselves before God has to chastise us and discipline us and humble us so we might do his will. And if we don't humble ourselves before God, we're going to bear some scars in our testimony. We're going to bear some disappointments in our life. And there's going to come a day where we're going to have to stand before God and give an account for the things that we've done, for the potential that we could have had, but yet we threw it away because we wanted to live in pleasure. We got to remember that this life is only temporary. This time that we have on earth is precious. It's significant. Don't squander it on things that give you a few minutes of pleasure, and then later you'll just want to keep on doing it because you're never satisfied. There's a movement today. It's sad. It breaks my heart. The transgender movement. It's terrible. It's wicked. And if you read the facts, if you read the statistics, the people that take part in that movement, of that sin, that wickedness, they have a 41% chance of attempting suicide. Why is that? Why is that? It's because they try to find pleasure and try to find their fulfillment in life and things of the world. And sin, and just meaningless things, in their lust, in their pride, and their wickedness. They try to find it there, and they cannot find it. Ladies and gentlemen, it is up to us to go and tell the world and to remind ourselves that we have the most precious thing and the most satisfying thing that anyone can have, and that's Jesus Christ living in our hearts. He fills our soul, satisfies our soul. He feeds us when we're hungry, gives us drink when we thirst, that we'll never be thirsty again. He puts in our heart a well springing up to everlasting life, a well of living water. The Bible says, Christ describes himself as this: while the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, being fed manna, Jesus Christ told the Jews and he told the disciples that they had manna from heaven. I am the bread of life. If any man eat of Christ and take part of Christ, they'll never go hungry again. They'll never have any more cravings of the soul. They'll be satisfied in the Lord. And yet the world is hungry. They're looking for something to satisfy their soul. They might try religion. They might try trends. They might try to fulfill their lusts and try to fill that void in their heart that only Christ can fulfill. He's the one that satisfies our soul. And yet how often do we, born-again Christians, abandon him and try to feed off the junk of this world? Because of our pride. Because we think, oh, God has called me to do this. You might think, oh, I'm a preacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a deacon, I can do this. But yet, Samson fell. He was the judge of Israel, the spiritual leader of the entire nation. And yet his pride and his eyes continue to get him in trouble. Now we see that the Philistines took out his eyes. But the Bible says, howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. And we read on. We see that it reminded him. His hair returned. And then finally we see that his strength returned. Verse 30. The Bible says, and Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the Lord's and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew as death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah, his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. The only time that he's able to lead Israel, to judge them, to give them spiritual wisdom was 20 years. The 20 years between the events of chapter 13 and 14 and chapter 16. We see here that he threw away all potential that he had to continue to be a leader. Threw it all away because of the lust of the flesh, the lust of eyes, and the pride of life. His strength returned. God gave him strength one last time. And he was able to have strength. But yet it cost him his life. It cost him everything. Why? Because he told all his heart to Delilah. He told all his heart to the wicked. He abandoned common sense. He abandoned the wisdom of God for a moment of pleasure. Every head bowed and every eye closed. The musicians coming to play the song of invitation. You might say, Brother Mark, that's awful sad ending to the scripture that is part of Samson's life. And it is sad. It's disappointing. Samson was a man of great potential. He could have had a greater testimony, a greater ministry, and given greater glory to God. But yet what happened? He surrendered his life not to God, but to himself and to sin. What will you do with your potential? What will you do with the gifts that God has given you? Samson was given strength. What do you have? You have the talent of singing, talent of athleticism, talent of teaching, of preaching, all these things. What will you do with your talent? What will you do with the gifts that God has given you? Will you squander them, waste them away? Will you do them and give them back to God? And dedicate your life to him. Is there anyone here that might say, Brother Mark, I've been born again. I know Christ is my Savior. But yeah, I haven't been living for him. I haven't completely dedicated my life to him. I've squandered so much time, so much energy on sin. If that's your situation, will you please raise your hand? I won't embarrass you or call you out. I'll pray for you. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. Thank you for that hand. Anyone else? Is there anyone else that said, well, Brother Mark, I'm not saved. I'm not born again. Let me tell you, now is the time. Now, here is the place to be saved. Is there anyone here that says, I know I'm not saved? Or is there anyone here that says, I don't know if I'm saved or not? Will you raise your hand? Anyone here? Okay. If you know, perhaps you didn't, but you know in your heart that you need Christ. You need a help of God. You need a strength of God. I'll invite you to come forward. Make it right with God. Make peace with God. And dedicate your whole life to him. Will you come? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this message. Lord, I thank you for this challenge. Lord, we read the life of Samson and we're reminded that we need you in all aspects of our life. Not just the outside, but Lord, we need you on the inside. We need to consecrate and sanctify for your glory. Separate ourselves from the world. And cling to you. God, I pray that there's someone here that needs to do business with you. I pray they would do it before it's ever less than too late. In Christ's name, amen. Brother Nelson, will you come up?
Once I was straying in sin's dark valley. searched through heaven and found a Savior to save a poor lost soul like me. Oh, what a Savior! Oh, hallelujah! His heart was broken on Calvary.